Not many wise men now are called. Not many wise men now are called. The words are based on New King James and the King James scriptures found in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if we take the title of the song literally, right, not many wise men now are called, I think the conclusion would be that God is not calling everyone at this time. He's not calling everyone at this time. And perhaps we would also agree that true Christians are a distinct minority. And therefore that God is only calling a few at this time. But we have another scripture to consider. And those are the words of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there. But Matthew 22:14, Jesus said, "Many are called, and few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. So what's right? Is it that the few are called, or the many? Do we have a biblical contradiction? The title of my sermon today is God's Calling, Few or Many. God's Calling, few or many. And it is designed to clear any confusion on the calling of God. Now, to answer the question of few or many, I think we have to explore the basic question of how does God call a person? How does God call a person? Now, the involvement of God and, of course, His Holy Spirit in calling an individual is without question fundamental to the process of a person making that initial connection to their Creator, as we heard in the sermonette, and God starting to work with that individual through the Holy Spirit. But have we ever asked ourselves, how does God call an individual? Is it a direct supernatural calling into a person's mind that unlocks something in a person's mind, and that's the only way it starts with that process? Or does Scripture shed light on another process that's designed to open a mind to God and His truth? Well, let's go to John 6:44. And if you've been in the church for a while, this was kind of like a go-to verse to discuss the calling of God. John 6:44. And Jesus is talking here. He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So with the focus on John 6:44, we could conclude that God has to directly open up a person's mind in some kind of miraculous way and unlock it. So now you have the ability to understand God's word. According to this reasoning, if God does not start this process, a person cannot understand the truth, regardless of reading it or hearing it from another individual. So verse 44 certainly confirms that God the Father does the calling, but the verse in itself does not say how God calls. However, the next verse actually gives us the fundamental understanding of how God calls. And at verse 45, it says, "As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me." So people are drawn by God, being taught by God. Well, how do we know what God has taught? What's the only source of information of how do we know what God has to say to us or to mankind? Well, it's the Bible, right? The words of Scripture. That's how we find out what God is and what His what he has to say to this. I really like the Expositor's Bible Commentary has to say on verse 45. I think it's very important to quote from there. Verse 45 indicates that God would do his drawing through the scriptures, and that those who were obedient to God's will, as revealed in the scriptures, would come to Jesus. I'll read that again. Verse 45 indicates that God would do his drawing through the scriptures, and that those who were obedient to God's will, as revealed in the scriptures, would come to Jesus. So verse 45 tells us that a person must hear and understand God's word, react positively to it in order to establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, who, as we know, is the gateway to a person being reconciled to God. Jesus told the people that the Old Testament scriptures, which were expounded by the prophets, were the key to understanding who he was, right? That he was the prophesied Messiah. And of course, we know scriptures in Isaiah and other Old Testament scriptures, they pointed to Jesus as that prophesied Messiah. And we see how they were fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, while God primarily used prophets to preach the truth in the Old Testament to Israel, the question becomes, how is the word distributed under the new covenant? How is the word distributed under the new covenant? Enter the church of God. Enter the church of God. The mission of the church, let's read it in Matthew 28. What is that great commission given to the church of God by Jesus Christ, the head of the church? Matthew 28 and 19 and 20. Here's what he said to them. Go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things wherever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, at the end of the age. So, who has God chosen to preach his word to all people under the new covenant? It is the church of God. The mission is to effectively preach and teach the Bible, which is God's word, to the world. This is the main process of how God calls an individual to the truth. This is the main process of how God calls an individual to the truth. Of course, we could add that, you know, some are called to the truth via another individual, perhaps a family member or a friend. But how do those people know what to tell that other person? Right? Ultimately, it comes back to the scriptures and what's in the scriptures and how to explain that to another person. So being called is not some mysterious unlocking of a mind carried out by God. But God uses the vehicle of the church under the new covenant to help open up minds to God's word. Now, I think it should be emphasized that God has made his truth, which is the Bible, to the entire world via the printed word, the Bible. Maybe we've never thought about this in one sense, but according to the Guinness World Records website, quote, the best-selling book of all time is the Christian Bible. It is impossible to know exactly how many copies have been printed in a roughly 1,500 years since its contents were standardized, but research conducted by the British and Foreign Bible Society in 2021 suggests that the total number probably lies between 5 and 7 billion copies. 5 and 7 billion copies. We also find out that as of 2022, all of the Bible has been translated into 724 languages. 724 languages. The New Testament has been translated into an additional 1,617 languages, according to Wycliffe Global Alliance. So the truth is out there. It's actually there for people to read. Of course, simply publishing God's word is not enough, since there are those who will never read it. And even if a person goes to the scriptures, their minds could already be filled with the errors of mainstream Christianity or other falsehoods or biases. That's why the Church of God is vital in the process of calling people to God. Now, if he only has pre-selected certain people to be called, this would appear to be in opposition to the mission of the church, right? Go to all people with the truth. And we could also think, if only a few have the ability to understand God's word, how can God bring punishment on all of humanity if they've been excluded from the calling and they simply cannot get reconciled to God? I think we need to think about that. Let's go to Acts chapter 30. We have an example in scripture of the need for preachers, preachers of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And verse 30. Acts 8, verse 30. Philip ran towards this individual and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's reading God's word, right? Isaiah. And the individual said, the man of Ethiopia, he says, "Well, how can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. This is just an example of, here's the word, I need some help. Philip is there as a servant of God to help him understand the scriptures. And it could have been in Isaiah about the Messiah. So the mission of the church involves not only teaching the truth, but we can also say explaining the errors of mainstream Christianity, which dominates as a counterfeit religion. Now, Jesus provides a powerful explanation and illustration. What happens when someone does hear the truth? What happens when someone picks up the Bible? They're preached to, we could say, you know, catches our literature or our presentation, perhaps on the internet. What happens? What is the process? Well, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Because we have to go through the parable of the sower and the seed. Mark chapter 4. And we won't go through everything. We'll just go through Jesus' explanation. Starting in Mark 4, verse 13. He said to them, "Do you know this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" We could stop right here. And Jesus is saying, listen, you have to understand this particular parables. Because if you don't get it, you might not understand all the other parables that I'm giving. He didn't say that about any other parable. This is really critical, a foundational parable of Jesus Christ. And so we begin, verse 14. He said, "The sower sows the word." Sows the word, what the word of God. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, but they don't have any root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. And in verse 18, and this third category, these are they which are sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then finally, the fourth category, These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. They all heard the word. The category heard the word, but they receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We find the same parable in the book of Luke, chapter 8, which shows how important this parable is. You know, it's found in two of the four gospel accounts. How does the process start in the parable? It starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Word of God. There's four categories representing what we could call free will choices. Free will choices that individuals make when confronted with the truth. Certainly category one appears to represent, I would say, the majority reaction of people who hear the truth. Since Satan is the God of this world, people are so far removed from God, or the true God, we can say, and his truth of the scriptures. They're tied into the deception in this world, and they quickly stop listening. I mean, it just doesn't go very far. I would say it's majority of people. We can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 is very important to understand the challenges that people face. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those which do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So why are people blinded? Well, it's not just Satan. It's a combination of the rebellious human nature, and that's fueled by the evil influence of Satan in this world. Now, that parable of the sower and the seed also tells us that there are those that embrace the truth for a time, but ultimately they fall away from it. Due to personal trials, cares of this world, many other reasons. There's only one category that hears the truth and accepts it, and you might say takes the ball and runs with it. Well, let's ask the question once again. Is God's calling limited to a very select few people? Let's go to Matthew 22. I quoted one scripture here. Well, let's just go through this parable. Remember, Jesus said, yep, to understand the sower and the seed, you have to understand that to understand the other parables. I'd say this is definitely a parable that involves that. Chapter 22 of Matthew. He answered and spoke to them in parables. This is Matthew 22, verse 1. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Well, he sent forth other servants, saying, well, tell them which are bidden, which are called to this wedding. Behold, I prepared my dinner. Oxen, fatlings are killed. All the things are ready. Come on to the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. Like, get out of here. We don't want to hear what you're trying to tell us. When the king therefore heard, he was angry. He sent his armies and he destroyed those murderers and he burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, well, the wedding is still ready. It hasn't gone away. But they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9, go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So, those servants went out to the highways. They gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man that did not have a wedding garment, and he said to him, friend, how did you come here not having a wedding garment? You're not dressed properly. And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, well, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here we go with verse 14. Jesus said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but it's the few that accept the calling. That's the key. It's the few that accept the calling. For reasons outlined in the sower and the seed. God calls many and does not prevent them from responding. But to be chosen, and that is a new concept for the sermon, to be chosen, we have to respond to the calling. To be chosen, we have to respond to the calling. Being called and being chosen are two separate categories. They're two separate concepts. When Jesus said few are chosen, it highlights the concept that while the invitation is open to all, only a few respond to it in faith. Those who accept the call, embrace God and Christ, and live according to God's truth are the chosen ones. It's a real key understanding to differentiate between called and chosen. So, armed with this information, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. And we see, verse 24. But to them which are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. And inserted in here are two words that are not in the original Greek. And perhaps they're in your Bible, they're in italics. Right? In my Bible, they're in italics. That's telling you that the editors added those words. Right? So the New King James and the King James felt that to complete this thought process, let's say our call. Let's add that. But it's not in the original in Greek. But I would say already, based on what we've already learned, it would be better to exclude the words are called. If you want to use, you want to complete the sentence, you might say, you could say, "You, brethren, how not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are chosen." Because many are called, but few are chosen. I would say at least, if you do have it in your Bible, it would be good to just put a bracket around are called. So just a reminder, it's not there. It's not in the original Greek. Paul's saying that generally, the weak of the world responded to the calling. That's there, that's for sure. The majority of, you might say, the powerful, the rich, you know, Jesus said, how can a rich man enter the kingdom of God, right? They did not respond. They did not respond. But those who did respond become the chosen, the chosen. There are other translations that clear up this verse. Let's read from the Revised Standard Version. Revised Standard Version. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. That's it. It's just hearkening back to, hey, when you were called, You know, who were you? You know, the weak of the world. But it doesn't say anything about a few being called. It didn't say anything about that. The NIV, this is their translation. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. That's it. I think at least these two are better translations of the scriptures. And, you know, we could joke and change the title of our hymn, right? Not many wise men now are chosen, right? The Apostle Paul clearly outlined the mission of the church, and it involved calling everyone to repentance, not just a few that could somehow understand. It's a call for everyone to repent. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We won't read everything that Paul had to say here, but Acts 17 and verse 30. It says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, right? He let it slide. But notice this clear verse from Paul. But now, Paul's saying now, at his day and age, he now commands all men everywhere to repent. He commands all people to repent then, at Paul's time, which of course would apply to our time now. And the reason he said all people, because as we know, the Gentiles were now being called to be part of the new covenant in addition to the Jews. Remember, the old covenant was only offered to Israel. Was not offered to any of the nations, just to Israel. But the new covenant is offered to everyone. And that's why Paul said, verse 30, God commands all men, we can just say people, he commands all people now to repent. Yeah, everyone. The message is there. The message is there for people to respond to. Verse 31, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man which he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Of course, it's talking about Jesus. So if all need to repent, then the calling from God is not limited to a few, but available to all who hear the message. Of course, God is not trying to save the world now. Not trying to save the world now. He does not intervene in human affairs. He doesn't try to clear up all the confusion about Christianity, et cetera, et cetera. He allows people to make the wrong choice, but he allows people to make the right choice as well. When Christ returns and the removal of Satan is completed, people will have free and ready access to the truth, and the government of God under Christ will be in control to foster this mission. But now it's difficult, right? Because Satan is the god of this world. There's confusion. There's all kinds of false ideas. So it is the few who respond to the call. Now, there are instances in the Bible where God does have a special call to individuals, right? We can think of Moses, right? He's just, you know, tending the flocks, and all of a sudden, you know, the bush is talking to him. That was a specific call for a specific mission. We could think of Jeremiah, who was told, hey, you're going to do the job, right? John the Baptist was chosen in advance to be the forerunner of Jesus. Even Paul, right? Paul was just doing his thing, persecuting the church. And God, he was struck down, and it's like, you know, you're going to lead a different life from here on out. But these are exceptions. These are exceptions in the scripture. They're not the rule. And of course, God's calling always involves the whole Word of God. The calling is only the initial step in the conversion process. Right? A person who makes the decision to accept the truth goes through the protocol of being baptized, right? Outward sign of repentance, bearing the sins, hands laid. And after that point, they become that second category, chosen. They become chosen of God. But even being chosen of God is not the final step, because we all have to endure to the end, right? We all have to be faithful to the end of our lives or to Christ's return. Let's go to, let's see in 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter. He starts off by proclaiming a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And of course, that was his mission as an apostle. Preach the word, go out. And he wrote two epistles to elaborate on God's word and who Christ was, etc. According to the divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 3. And again, how do we know anything about God? If the Bible did not exist, how could people know who God is, what his mission is? We wouldn't know anything, right? We wouldn't really know anything. But he gave exceeding great and precious promises, verse 4. And then Peter exhorts, give diligence, add to your faith. Faith is in the belief of God and his word and Christ as our Savior. Let's add virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape, love. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could say that, well, if none of these things are there, right? You got baptized, but like you didn't change at all. You went back to everything you did prior to that. You would be unfruitful. You would be unfruitful. But if you do the right thing, you're going to bear fruit. Verse 9, but he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now notice verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, or you shall never fail. Right, you have to make those things, the calling, your acceptance. You become the elect of God, and Peter is exhorting the brethren, hey, let's keep doing the right things. Let's keep bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Let's also take a look at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Okay. Wrong scripture. But we have the scripture that there are those that are called and chosen and faithful, right? Called, chosen, and faithful. If anyone could tell me what scripture it is.
Verse 14.
Is it verse 14?
Chapter 17:14.
Thank you. I had 17, verse 4. Appreciate that. Let's read that. Revelation 17, verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and they that are with him, right? These are the faithful servants. These are the first fruits. Here are the categories we all have to fulfill, right? Where does it start? Call to the truth, right? The invitation. You're called, then you're chosen, but then you're faithful. And all three apply. It's that process. It's the process. Called, chosen, and faithful. We don't teach in the Church of God that, you know, once you're baptized and God's Spirit, that's it. It's a cakewalk. Don't even do anything. You know, take it easy, take a vacation. It's like, no, you can quench the Holy Spirit. You know, you can lose out through neglect. You got to keep at it. And so much of the New Testament, we just read in Peter. He's like, listen, you got to do these things, right? You have to be fruitful. Christ said you have to bear fruit or you're in trouble. You're in trouble if you don't bear fruit. So called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. Again, these are all separate categories. Finally, we have the clear example of Paul, who his mission, as the mission to the church, is go out and preach the truth, right? Preach the truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's pick it up in Acts 28, verse 16. Acts 28, verse 16. When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. It came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. When they came together, he said, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem to the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, they would let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything to accuse any nation of. For this cause, he says in verse 20, I have called for you to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. They said to him, well, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of you, but we desire to hear of you what you think. As for concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against, the early church. Verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, to his lodging, not the few, but the many, to whom he, this is his role, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening. So what did Paul use? Did he just use his smarts to tell them anything? He went to the scriptures. He went to the word of God. At that time in print, of course, only the Old Testament. And he went through the law of Moses, through those books, out of the prophets. Of course, many spoke of the Messiah to come from morning until evening. That's his role. That's the role of the United Church of God, is to expound these words, not anyone's opinions, but out of the scriptures, teach the truth to the people. Verse 24 always gets to me. Verse 20, here's Paul. Paul had to be so logical and so convincing, so intelligent to put everything together. But verse 24 says, well, some believed the things which were spoken, and some did not. Did they have the opportunity to hear it? Yep. Were they called to the truth? Yeah. But it was their choice. And some believed, and some did not. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet, who said to the Father, saying, go to this people, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Why can't people get it? Verse 27 tells us, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. This is a really important verse because there's some that think, well, people have no choice. If Satan's blinded them, they can't even get out of the starting gate. And it's all Satan's fault, right? It's all Satan's fault. And people are innocent. But this tells us that people have closed their eyes, right? They had a choice to make. Now, they're influenced by the world, right? They're influenced by all the wrong ideas and wrong ideas about the truth or whatever, right? And Satan is always there to broadcast error and to confuse people. But people, people have a responsibility. And that's why they can be judged, if you think about it. It's their choice to make. And Paul was experiencing the fact that the Jews, basically, because it was go to the Jews first, right? Jesus went to the Jews first. He didn't go to the Gentiles. But the Jews, by and large, were rejecting him as Savior, right? And as we read through the book of Acts, it was clear that God said, listen, the new covenant is now open to the Gentiles and preached to the Gentiles. Basically, to everyone now, not just to the Israelites. That's why we see in verse 28, be it known therefore to you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and that they will hear it. Yeah, that's a that was an unbelievable revelation. For centuries, God's word, it's for Israel. Other nations, he had nothing to do with them. But under the new covenant, it's open to everyone. Open to everyone. And Paul preached that, and as I said, some believed, and some did not believe. So we look at this and other scriptures. People, they had the free will. They had the free will to react positively to the truth. But again, majority of the Jews refused to believe it. Paul moved on to the preaching of the Gentiles. And as we know, most people at the end of the day still reject the truth, right? The road to salvation is narrow. And Jesus said, few find it, not many, few find it, but many are called. And again, I just want to emphasize in verse 27 that they have closed their eyes, right? That was another free will choice, just like Adam and Eve had a choice whether or not to obey God. Now, over the years, I've heard the following statements in a church, and I'm sure I made some of these statements myself. Here's a statement. God is only calling a few at this time. God is only calling a few at this time. Here's another one. The reason for the church not growing is because God is not calling many people now. He's only calling a few. And finally, here's another statement. They've come to church and they're reading the Bible. And, hey, maybe God is calling them. Maybe God is calling them. And we'll see. Based on what we've already explored, those statements would no longer hold credence. They would no longer hold credence. God's truth is open to all. The church remains small because most do not accept the truth. And the parable of the sower and the seed tell us that, and other scriptures. If someone is reading the Bible, they're hearing the word, well, they're being called. Why? Because the sower sows the word, and that's the calling. Calling is the word. God's church remains relatively few in numbers because the majority who hear the truth simply do not accept it, or they walk away from it at some point for a variety of reasons. We've seen that God uses his word, the Bible, as the basis to call people. The church is the main vehicle to preach the truth. The mission is to preach to all nations. It's not hampered by anything that, well, God first has to open up their minds. That's not in the scriptures. Of course, God is, of course, directly involved in every step of the way. Of course, it's his word, right? And when people start to respond, God's Holy Spirit becomes involved in the process. But people have free will to evaluate the message, make a decision. And think about it, if people didn't have a choice, right? They were just excluded. Would it be fair for God to condemn them? Would it be fair for them to be condemned? Paul tells us God now commands all to repent, which shows that everyone in this age has the ability to react positively to the preaching of the truth. Many are called, but few are chosen.